In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're reading Luisa and the Bread and Food of the Divine Will. We are on page 8, volume 20, 11-2-1926. And Jesus begins, "My daughter, Luisa, my redemption came as a remedy for man." Okay, so here we see that the kingdom of redemption is the remedy for us. When Adam sinned, when Adam lost this great gift of the divine will, Jesus and Our Lady came to earth, the new Adam and the new Eve. Why? To begin this redemption that, you know, Jesus tells Luisa, it's like a baby that falls down into a well. You know, it's broken and bleeding at the bottom of the well. That's basically what Adam did to us. So we were to live a beautiful life with God, perfectly healthy, perfectly we weren't to age, we weren't to get wrinkled, gray haired, we weren't to die. That was why God made us, to be in His image and likeness. And that's eternally young. And when Adam fell, Jesus says it was like falling down into a well, broken and bleeding. And the parents come and they redeem the body. They pull the body out of the well. And the parents are happy, but they're not completely happy because the child is not the way it was before the fall. And the healing has to take place. The repair of the bones, the cuts, the bruises. And that's what we've been going through for the last 2,000 years. And think about it. The sacraments and the sacramentals are the remedy for mankind. It's to begin this healing process. And the church split, you know, first between East and West. And then the church fragmented with the Reformation. And now there are, 40,000 Protestant denominations. And they don't believe in the three blessed. Blessed are you, Mary, among women. They don't believe in Our Lady as the Mother of God, Theotokos. They don't believe in the Eucharist. Blessed is the fruit of your womb. The fruit of your womb. The food of your womb. Jesus Christ. And they don't believe in, blessed are you, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. They don't believe in the Vicar of Christ on earth. They don't see that as a plan of God. And, you know, even in the Catholic Church today, they say 70% of Catholics don't believe in the real presence of Jesus. How many ignore the Blessed Mother? How many ridicule and mock the Vicar of Christ through the teachings of the Church, not listening, not obeying? You know, especially the great test that we have, Humanae Vitae, failing that miserably, and the whole world is affected. Yet Jesus wants to heal us because He wants to bring us back to receive this gift. That's why the gift of the divine will is for faithful and obedient Catholics, not cafeteria Catholics. Why? Adam was unfaithful. Adam was disobedient. So Jesus and Mary come to earth. Jesus said, "Not my will, but your will, Heavenly Father." Faithful and obedient to the Father, to redeem mankind. Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ, saying, giving her fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. 2,000 years later, finally, Jesus and Mary say, They have found the newborn, Luisa Picaretta. Well, they really planned for Luisa. And Luisa is the only one at this point who has the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And what does Jesus do with her? He says, I will teach you. I will reform you. You will be the model that I will make for all mankind. And that doesn't mean to look like her, but it means to resemble her. How? Faithful and obedient. When Jesus said to her, go to bed, when she was 17, she was faithful and obedient to Christ. Again, she could walk. But Jesus said, I want you to go to bed. I want you to stay there. Why? Adam was to be faithful and obedient by not eating the fruit of one tree in the garden. And he couldn't do it. He found it delightful. He found it appealing. Why? Because he was seduced by the evil one through Eve, believing the lies of Lucifer. And today, what's happening in the church, it's the lies of Lucifer again. Don't have children. I was listening to one woman. You know, my father was the 12th child of 14, and that had to be a very special woman to do that. It had to be a very powerful woman to do it. Why? What are you talking about? You know, she walked to church on Sunday. You know, and it was many miles. She was faithful to be. She prayed the rosary every day. And I would witness that. I would witness her praying. She lived with us until she died. And she was faithful and obedient. That was the specialty that she had. That was her openness to humani vitae. What is human life? You know, even if a person has a contraceptive mentality, what happens at that point? It's no. It's not a... You can't think like this. You have to think with the mind of Christ. And that's what Luisa did. And Luisa wrote everything down on paper. Why? So that we could begin this healing process. Not only through the sacraments and sacramentals, but with the three powers that are within us, our intellect, memory, and will. We begin to understand things with the mind of Christ when we listen to the teachings of the church. We are through our intellect, our memory is that of me, pity me, pity, pity me. Look what they did to me. Look what they said about me. No, it's the memory of Jesus, the memory of Mary. That's one of the main reasons why we pray the rosary every day. Our Lady wants us to have our memory corrected. You know, why did God do this to me? Why did God? You know, I hear that all the time from people. Not, you know, the Lord gives, the Lord takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord, as Jonah said. No, it wasn't Jonah. It was Job, as Job said. You know, it's why do they say that? Because they don't know love. They have not meditated on Christ crucified. They have not meditated in front of the Blessed Sacrament of Jesus there, present. You're looking at God. They don't meditate on that. God Almighty, holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. God, that which looks like bread and tastes like bread is worthy to be worshipped. It's the Lord God Almighty saying, I want to become your food. I want to feed you. I want to nourish you. I want to strengthen you. And then our will. I'm in charge. One of the worst songs out there, the most revealing songs out there, was I Did It My Way. That's your way to hell. Everyone that went to hell, everyone that's going to hell, that's their song. I did it my way. Not God's way. My way. Not the church's way. My way. Not Our Lady's way. My way. Not Jesus's way. My way. The Lord loves us very much. And he's given us that free will that he will not take away from us, because he says, I have to give you what you want. That's frightening. So what does he teach Louisa? I want you to live on earth as if earth didn't exist. I want your desires to be of me, focused on me, the Lord God Almighty. And what happens is the Lord starts taking everything away from Louisa. Everything. And Louisa says, Fiat, let it be done as you say. May your kingdom come, may your will be done, and reign in me, in this dust, on this earth, as you reign in the souls in heaven. Our Lord loves us. He really, really loves us. But we don't meditate on him. We don't pray to him. A lot of people pray, I want, gimme, 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 I want, It's to have that docility, the surrender, the submission. This is what God is waiting for. So he says, my redemption came as a remedy for mankind, and therefore it serves as remedy, as medicine, as food for the sick, for the blind, for the mute, and for all kinds of maladies. You know, it's really funny. It was almost everything in advertising is to make you feel better. This is a remedy for your pain. This is a remedy for this, a remedy for that. Jesus says he's given us the sacraments and sacramentals as our remedy. How many have holy water fonts in their house? Oh, you do? How big is it? You know, it's to bless yourself every day. Lord Jesus, I ask you, Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, to bless me in your name, Jesus, in your name, Heavenly Father, in your name, Jesus, in your name, Holy Spirit. It's not just, you know, dunking your finger in the water and then just, you know, waving your hand around you like it's a magic spell. It's prayer. Every house should have a holy water font. Every home should have a holy water font. I've got one outside my house, inside my house, and then where my chapel is, where walking into the living room. The front door, the back door, the cellar door. It's I want to be protected. You know how many wear the scapular? Scapular is, it's the clothing of heaven. You're saying to the Lord, I want to obey the Blessed Mother. She says, wear the scapular, pray the rosary, and attend first Saturday masses in reparation. I want to do that. Why? Our Lady suggests it. My Blessed Mother suggests it. Our Blessed Mother suggests it. Oh, the scapular is too itchy. Well, now you get a glimpse of why God wants you to wear it. Why would God want it to be when it was all scratchy and I could feel it? Because he's reminding us of who we are. He's reminding us to think correctly. You know, when you read the lives of the saints, some saints would, during Lent, put a little pebble in their shoe. Why? Just to remind them that this life is not a life of pleasure. It's a life to get to heaven, to think of God. It's a distraction from the world, the flesh, and the devil, to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Louisa, when you go to visit Louisa at her home, you'll see that what she wore around her waist was nails. It was, you know, these thumbtack nails that for putting cloth into a furniture. She had those, she had it made into a belt, and she wore it around her waist. Why? She wanted to remember Jesus. It wasn't because she liked pain as pleasure. No. She wanted to remember Jesus crucified. Your skin off your back, Jesus was torn off. When you're scourged, you're whipped. You're struck with a reed to welt the skin. Then you're whipped, and that breaks the skin. And then you're scourged, and that takes the skin and rips it off you. It's to go through that three stages. And Louisa would say, I want to, because Jesus says, are you with me in at Golgotha? Are you with me? Do you remember what I've done for you? That's why when something happens, we can say, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. He has gone through everything for us. So has the Blessed Mother. And then they asked Louisa to go through this. Who is this Louisa Picaretta that was so faithful, so obedient? She was taught by Jesus Christ. And we're being taught now by Jesus as we read, as we study. And Jesus says, because mankind is sick and they do not enjoy nor receive all the strength and that all the remedies that I, Jesus, came to bring them for the good that these remedies contain. Think about it. When you pray in front of the Blessed Sacrament, you know, you've got to give up an hour. Okay? What remedy is that? Well, you're in front of the Lord God Almighty. And then what happens? You know, a lot of people go in and just read books. It's like going to your grandmother's house, knocking on the door. She says, come in. And you sit down and you read. You look at your watch. Time's up. You get up and you say goodbye and you leave. What good was that? What good was that? You know, when we're with Jesus, we're to look at him and fall in love with him. St. Teresa says this is the only time where we can freely love God. This is what God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to fall in love with him. So he says this, the Eucharistic sacrament that I, Jesus, left as food in order to give them perfect health. That's the divine will. The divine will is perfect health. Spiritual, physical, mental, emotional health. Again, we've fallen so far. We're broken and bleeding. Jesus has redeemed us. We're still broken and bleeding. We've got to heal. And that's why Christ has given us the church, the sacraments, the sacramentals. Again, we talked about one sacramental. The other day was the anniversary of Our Lady of the Miraculous Medal. Do you have a Miraculous Medal? Do you know what this Miraculous Medal is about? Have you read anything about it? Did you hear what Our Lady said to St. Catherine Laboure? We focus a lot of time on nonsense and not the most beautiful things that God has given. I mean, just think about it. A football used to be, when football first came on television, it was all the sports all the time. And it was basically the wives that started complaining because every Sunday, you know, all day long, you know, the men were focusing on football. Because when somebody says, yeah, that's how it started, I said, who complained? Who said, stop this? What was happening? The children were ignored. The family was ignored. The men were, you've seen football games in Europe, football games in America. somebody complained and said, stop this. We have to be complaining to ourselves, stop this. Any addiction that you have, whether it's football, you have to get away from it. You have to be freed of it. If you can't be away from a sport, the sport has become your God. See, we can't get away from Jesus. We have to discipline ourselves to get away. You have to treat yourself as a child sometimes. You are not to watch television. Who's saying that to you? It should be you. If you read the article on the plan of Satan in 1700, the plan of Satan to take over the world was hypnotism, to be hypnotized. The pulsation coming from the television hypnotizes a person. That's why whether you're 8 or 80, that television becomes the hypnotic eye of death. It's whether you're 8 or 80, you're mesmerized. And they're teaching you how to think. They're teaching you what to do. That's what commercials are. Subconscious. It's forming you. We don't have the catechism anymore. Who's forming your children? My children, they don't go to church anymore. Well, they have another God who's taught them. Hypnotism. They've been hypnotized. Well, this is what's going on in the world today, and we have to do this, we have to. Who taught you that? Why are they thinking that way? See, it's to go back to where we were before the fall. What was Adam doing? He was walking and talking with God in the cool of the evening. The Eucharistic sacrament that I, Jesus, left as food for mankind to give them perfect health. Many eat it over and over again, but they appear always sick. You become what you eat. You are nourishing yourself on God Almighty. And God is asking us to become like Him. Image and likeness. So what does He do? He gives us Himself as our food. How many go to Holy Mass? How many run away from Holy Mass? Who's taught you to do that? Where did you learn that? You know, this person was raised in a Catholic family, but they don't go to church anymore. I wonder why. Every Sunday, again and again and again, the whole family went to communion. Doesn't happen anymore. What's changed them? Now, everybody has a television on their wrist or in their hand, in their pocket. You know, it's you go to the airport, everybody's looking down. Everybody's looking down. Everybody is looking down. What does Scripture say? Look up. Your redemption is near at hand. Look up. Look to God. See, the devil's having his way. Scripture says look up. Everybody's looking down. Jesus says, this poor food, my very divine life, hidden under the veil of the accidents of the bread and wine, how many corrupted palates, how many undigesting stomachs that prevent souls from enjoying and tasting of my food, of God's food, and from digesting all the divine strength of my sacramental life. When you go to church, you should be there early. Not get there as the bells are ringing. Not getting there after the bells are ringing. You should go there and prepare. Louisa prepared herself for 2 hours before she had Mass. And then when she received Holy Communion, she meditated 2 hours after receiving Holy Communion. That's 5 hours of prayer. 2 hours before receiving Jesus, then the Holy Mass, and then 2 hours after Holy Communion. Adoring Him and loving Him, praising Him and thanking Him and blessing Him. He taught her how to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening, what He gave to Adam. Jesus says, so because they have corrupted palates, because they have undigesting stomachs, because they are not receiving the divine strength of the Holy Sacrament, they remain infirm because they are members feverishly in evil. Feverish in evil. Think about it. They take with it no appetite. Feverish in evil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. Lying, cheating, stealing. Not going to the sacrament of confession, not examining their conscience, not saying, I've got to turn away from this life. That's what the sacrament of penance does. You go, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought, this is what I said, this is what I did, this is what I failed to do, and I don't want to live like this. Give me the strength to overcome my sinfulness. And then you have to be that parent who says to yourself, stop it. Worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. No, you don't understand. I have to worry. Why? Because I don't trust Jesus Christ. I don't believe that He is a good God, so I have to worry about this. That says to me you're going to be a long, long time in purgatory if you get to purgatory. To get to heaven, you can't have one venial sin on your soul. That means you have to totally and completely turn from that sin. That sin cannot be part of who you are. This is what Jesus says. You remain infirmed. Why? Because you are feverish in evil. What you think, what you say, what you do, what you fail to do. Sometimes that's the worst thing. What you fail to do. Lazy. Oh, you'll make sure your stomach is full. But if you have to do something for your brothers or sisters, it's not done. Jesus says, this is why I, Jesus, long so much for the coming of the kingdom of the supreme fiat, because then everything that I, Jesus, did in coming upon earth shall serve as food for those who enjoy perfect health. Perfect health. That's the divine will. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. Perfect health. To be in God's image and likeness. Perfect health. What is not the difference between a sick person who takes the same food and someone else who enjoys perfect health? The infirmed one takes the food without appetite, without taste, and it serves him in order to sustain himself and not die. The healthy soul takes it with appetite because he enjoys it and he takes more and it preserves him strong and healthy. That's what God wants us to be, strong and healthy. But we have to be in His image, in His likeness. True holiness is healthiness. You can't be healthy if you're not holy. Oh, you can look like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. You can spend 6 hours a day lifting weights, 7 days a week plus overtime. And that body becomes food for worms. eventually. What do you get at the end of your life by doing that? See, it's the spiritual aspect that God wants strengthened. The spiritual awareness. I mean, you got pictures of Arnold when he was 20, and then you got pictures of Arnold now without a shirt at 60, 70. It's a... All those hours. For what? See, we're here on earth to get ready for eternity. We're here on earth to get ready for God. And that's why he says, I'm here for you as your food, as your strength, as your nourishment. God has got great plans. So he says, so what shall not be my contentment in seeing that the kingdom I'm in the kingdom of my most holy divine will, everything that I, Jesus, did, shall serve no longer as food for the sick, but food for the children of my kingdom. What's Jesus saying here? There's going to come a time that the only ones that are going to survive are the little children of the holy divine will. They're the only ones that are going to be strengthened and nurtured by God. The others have chosen what they want. The others have chosen to be separate from God. They've chosen it. This is the day, you know, when you die, you stand before God. I mean, watch near-death experiences. That's something that's very, very amazing. Listen to souls that have died and have come back. Listen to the souls who met Jesus Christ. Other souls have died and they were shown hell. They're going to hell. And God, a number of times through the Blessed Mother, they would come back to life and repair your life on earth. Repair so that you can get to heaven. And they know hell exists. The children of Fatima were shown hell by the Blessed Mother. They know it exists. And they know it's for all eternity. And they know it's fire. There's some people that are saying, oh, it's not fire. It's a state. It's fire. Why? How do I know this? Jesus talks about it. He didn't say it was a mental state. It's to be purged for all eternity, because this is what you wanted for all eternity, and this is what you now possess for all eternity. Our Lord loves us, and he says very clearly, he says, my Eucharist shall no longer be food for the sick, but shall be food for the children of my kingdom, the little children of the most holy divine will, who shall be all full of divine vigor and in perfect health. You can't live in the kingdom if you're not full of divine vigor and perfect health. You can't survive there. Jesus, he says he spies on us. He says that to Louisa, I spy on you. I watch what you do, whether you come to me or not. Well, why doesn't he do more? Look at Christ crucified. Spend time focusing on Christ crucified. Watch the passion of the Christ until you know every sigh and every moan and every tear and every drop of blood. Why doesn't he do something? The Lord, I mean, he's in every tabernacle and the churches are empty. Why doesn't he do something? Even more, by possessing my most holy divine will, they shall possess my permanent life within them, just as the blessed in heaven possess my permanent life. So my most holy divine will shall be the veil that shall hide my divine life in every little soul who wants me, who seeks me, who desires me. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then you would be with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Oh, my church doesn't do it. Oh, my church doesn't do that. Okay. Go to the internet. Look up perpetual adoration. Spend time with our Eucharistic Lord. Watch how quickly you'll become bored. Why? There's no love there on your side. Love is all on the other side. Again, you have to treat yourself as you would a stubborn child. You know, in Opus Sanctorum Angelorum, the work of the holy angels, you say to your guardian angel, beat me as you would a stubborn mule. Do you dare to say that? Because you will be beaten. You're giving them permission. You're a stubborn mule. Do you dare to pray that prayer? Treat me as you would a stubborn mule. God wants you in heaven, but He's given you a free will. What do you do with your free will? Eat as much, drink as much, have as much from anybody and from everybody that you want. That's really good. And just as the saints in heaven possess me, Jesus, within themselves of their own life, because true happiness, here it is right here, true happiness has its origin inside the soul, so the happiness that they receive continuously from the divinity holds hands in exchange with a kiss with the happiness that they possess within inside themselves. Is Jesus reigning in you? Is Jesus there? Do you recognize Him? Have you invited Him to be the Lord of your heart, mind, and soul? Are you pleading with Him to be freed of the wickedness within you, the evil, the feverish evil within you? Oh, there's nothing there. Oh, there's nothing there, huh? Say that at the Day of Judgment. I dare you. You won't be able to, because you will know the truth. And if you've gone through your life every day, before you fall asleep, God will show you how far you are from Him. He doesn't want to lose you. The day of illumination of conscience will be horrible. The saints say that some people will die of fright. Oh, I'm pretty good. I get that in confession sometimes. Bless me, Father, for I've sinned. I said, I've really not sinned this time. I've been really good. Oh, you have? Let me adore you. Let me kneel down and adore you. You don't know yourself at all. I'm pretty darn good. When you get to heaven, you're not going to use the word darn. God wants us to be with Him. We have to really begin to meditate on Christ crucified. We have to really begin to spend time in front of our Eucharistic Lord. This is what God is waiting for. Again, this kiss, this exchange of kiss. This is heaven and earth kissing. This is what Scripture means. God is coming to earth to receive His bride. I mean, that's our God. He wants to come to earth to find a bride, and He will marry His church collectively, but He wants to marry us individually as well. This is why they are fully happy. In the same way, the soul who possesses my divine will shall have my perennial life within the soul that shall serve her as continuous food, not once a day like the food of my holy, the sacramental life, but continuously, perennially. Why did Jesus give the church the Holy Eucharist? where you can prepare to receive Him. Not just to go into church at the last minute, receive Jesus, walk out and continue your miserable life. It's to go to Jesus, to prepare to receive Him, to receive Him worthily, that means in the state of grace, and then to leave with Him, adoring Him and loving Him and praising Him. You have allowed Him to be the King of your heart. His throne is your heart, your mind, your soul. He loves you that much. And what happens? He's saying, get ready for a perennial communion with me. I've allowed you to be Catholic. I've wanted you to be Catholic to get you ready for that universal life, that Catholic life for all eternity. How many do we spend, just think about it, when you receive Jesus, He's there for 15 minutes until the host dissolves. The real presence of Jesus in a mystical way is there. What do we do after Mass? Do we kneel? Do we recognize the time that we've received Him? You want to look at your watch? Look at it then. I just received Jesus Christ. He's with me for 15 minutes in a real mystical way. It's the holiest time of the day. And everything that you pray at that point is powerful. What do we do with those 15 minutes? I don't care if the whole church is in fellowship. Where's your oneness with God? He's with you. So Jesus says this, in fact, my most holy divine will shall make a greater display, nor shall it be content in giving itself once a day, but it shall give itself continuously, perennially, because it knows that these have pure palates, strong stomachs, as to be able to enjoy and digest in every single moment the divine strength, the divine light of my most holy divine life. That's what God is waiting for, you know. Do we understand what the Holy Eucharist is? A great mystery. Then they say, why haven't I ever heard about Louisa before? Why don't they know of Louisa? What God keeps as a mystery, He keeps hidden. Look at Our Lady of the Divine Indwelling. She's veiled. This is a great mystery. The Holy Eucharist is a great mystery. It's such a great mystery that nobody's in church. The ones that have been taught this all their life are not there adoring Him and loving Him and praising Him, thanking Him and blessing Him and worshiping Him. Why? Let's look at the Blessed Mother. Why don't people love the Blessed Mother? She's appeared all over the world. Many apparitions all over the world. Many approved apparitions all over the world. It's a great mystery. What God loves, He keeps mysterious. Now, Louisa, a great mystery. Do you have a picture of Louisa in your home? She would only allow a few pictures of herself. As a matter of fact, the first picture that was taken, I can just hear her saying, I don't want to be seen. And Jesus says, okay. The very first picture you have of Louisa, you see all of her dress, but her face is just glowing. You can't see her face. She was 18 years old when that was taken. A picture of Louisa, her face is just glowing. Do you have a statue of Our Lady? Do you have a statue of Our Lord? Do you have a picture of Jesus? Do you have a picture of Mary? Like I told you about that house I went to, a very, very wealthy, wealthy, wealthy family. Beautiful mansion. Would you bless my house? I mean, everything in it, marble all over the place, windows all over the place. Furniture, unbelievable. They said, would you consecrate my house to Jesus and Mary? I said, of course. So I get to the house. I said, will you have a picture of Jesus or Mary? And they go, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And they run and they get 2-inch, 3-inch statue of plastic statue of Jesus. Sacred Heart statue of Our Lady, Miraculous Medal. All I could say is, you call yourself Catholic? Look at this house. Look what you did for you. And look what you do for Jesus. Something that 10 cents, 15 cents to make. You know, everybody should have a room that's dedicated to the Lord. Your room is now dedicated to your television, which Saint Elizabeth Ann Seton said, every house will have a black tabernacle in their home where they will worship. That's your black tabernacle. And now it's 64 inches, 65 inches. What tabernacle's that big? And the sacraments of my sacramental life shall serve as divine food, as divine delight, as a new divine happiness for the divine life of the supreme fiat that they shall possess. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.